Right, no prizes for guessing who made my bookmark. This morning's reading is Colossians 2, verses 6 to 23, and it's page 1183 in the Church Bible if you're using one. And it's headed Freedom from Human Regulations Through Life with Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins, excuse me, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with the idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belonged to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence.
Well, good morning, and welcome back to those of you that are back with us. Good to have you back with us. Those that have come from many miles and those who have come not so far, lovely to have you with us. It's great to have a congregation this morning, isn't it? To be together. Isn't it good to be together? I went back to my Lancastrian roots for a moment then. But that sense of being gathered into the body of Christ as we worship together, as we pray together, as we pray for one another, knitted together in him. And we have to remember that Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, a church probably not much bigger than us, just a household of believers gathered together, praying for one another at the beginning of their journey with God. We've been thinking about fruitfulness on the front line, and Paul writing to these new believers about how they could be fruitful where God had planted them. Ordinary men and women, the people of Colossae, gathered by God, and he revealed to them his plans, his big plans for the universe, for all that he planned for the people of God and for the redeeming of all things. He wrote about God reconciling all things to himself in Christ, and the way that they could become part of that as envoys to his new creation, revealing the mystery of Christ. This morning, as Shona said, we're going to be thinking about the journey on and thinking how we take those things that we've learned through the book of Colossians and think about how we live that out in the future. But the Colossian church was an example of this new creation coming about, this reconciliation, this amazing work that Christ had done. Just think about the situation in that small church. United in that new body are Greeks, Jews, men, women, slaves, slave owners, those speaking in tongues, those not speaking in tongues. The Jews thought the Gentiles, their only purpose was to serve as fuel to fire the fires of hell. That was the opinion that the Jews had of the Gentiles. That was our main use as Gentiles. I speak of myself as a Gentile. Our main use was to stoke the fires of hell. So they had a fairly low opinion of the Gentiles. To touch a Gentile made you unclean. To enter their home made you unclean. They were outside of God, without hope. The Greeks thought that anyone that didn't speak Greek was stupid. They just sounded like sheep. Bah, bah, bah. Sound a bit like English, actually. Bah, 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 bah. They were barbarians. They thought they were just uneducatable. They were just brute beasts. The slaves were considered as living tools, less than human. I'll leave you to decide what the slaves thought of their slave owners. The women were considered to be the property of their fathers until they were handed over to their husbands, when they then became their property. These were knitted together into the body of Christ. The women who previously had been thought of as not worthy of educating in the things of God are brought into an understanding of who God is and what his plan is for the universe. The slaves, who were never asked their opinion but simply told what to do, hear the mystery of Christ revealed to them at the same time as their slave owners. The Greeks alongside the Jews, reconciled in Christ, recognizing in each other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's amazing what God is doing in this church in Colossae. Is amazing. So they are already a sign and a symbol of this reconciling power of Jesus Christ. So whatever our views on Europe, or President Trump, or independence for Scotland, or homosexuality, or creationism, or women in leadership, or speaking in tongues, our differences can't begin to compare with the differences that separated those in Colossae. And yet, they were united in Christ. What Christ did was more important than any of those views. And that spoke powerfully to the people around them. It spoke powerfully the reconciling power of Christ. So Paul stressed that they should not withdraw from each other, but rather, led by the Spirit, they should seek to gently persuade and treat each other with patience. I believe too, as the Lord speaks to us and reconciles us through the Spirit of Christ, that same reconciling work speaks powerfully to the world around us. So here on Sundays and in our small groups, we've begun to examine how we might go about living out this calling as envoys in our everyday lives, right where we live. We've seen we can do this by modelling godly character, putting on those virtues that come through the Spirit, and letting Christ rule in our hearts and minds. began to broaden our outlook. So we thought about whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we can do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We talked about making good work. We saw, yes, we're saved by grace, but we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So simply doing the work that God gives us well is part of being an envoy of the coming kingdom. We talked of ministering grace and love. And in this service, we thought about particularly faith, love and hope, and the way that their growth in Colossae and amongst us speaks of the living gospel, the impact that it's having in our lives through the living God. We talked first that it's about growth, about growing in these things, not being perfect in them yet, but growing in these things. We spoke about them being rooted in the gospel, that they come not through us being good people, but through being redeemed in Christ. And we talked about generation, that these things sow, faith sows faith, love sows love, hope sows love, sows hope. So we saw an increase in these things. We talked about moulding our culture, and we thought about squeezing the jelly baby, whether culture is squashing us or whether we're moulding the culture around us. We thought about being salt and light, influencing the culture around us. We thought about being a mouthpiece of truth and justice. The cross impacting us, changing our hearts, and then enabling us to speak. We asked what understanding, wisdom, and knowledge has the Spirit given to us that we might speak into the lives and situations around us. And last week we spoke about being messengers of the gospel, sharing good news, praying devotedly for those that are at the front line of sharing the word as well as the deed. Acting wisely ourselves, taking every opportunity that there is, and speaking graciously when we're given that opportunity. So last week, those that were here got a spot test. I didn't warn them beforehand. I said, right, so what have you learned? What were the six M's that we've covered? We'd only done five by then, but I asked them what the five M's were that they'd covered. And people wrote down at the end just a sentence to try and sum up what they thought the theme of what God had been saying through me was. And I've written those down, and I've put it into a couple of paragraphs, and this is what they said. So if you missed it, this is a little summary. Be encouraged to speak to those outside of Christ, sharing your faith through your lives. Be God-focused in your life and witness, reaching out to others in your daily lives. Think about how you live your lives as Christians and work in your community to show God's love and mercy, using your gifts to help others about you. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Live out the gospel. Reach out in mission to those that are before you every day. Be willing to be used by God for his purposes, for bringing others to Christ, changing and impacting the world around you. Live as God intends, sharing and living out your faith. Change society by your behavior so it's more open and ready to hear the gospel. Your thoughts and actions are a reflection of the Holy Spirit, God's character in you, and impact on society. Draw close to God and be open to his leading. Be strong in Christ. Share the gospel. Spread the gospel. Pass on belief in Jesus and what it means. Be more effective for God in the places where God has put you in your everyday lives. Wow. Well done. You're preaching the sermon next week. That's great. That's really encouraging that you've heard roughly what I've been saying. And that God has been saying similar things, I think, to you. And I believe this is what God's saying to us. Not that we all need to become evangelists, but that we all live out the gospel right where we are and embody the gospel right where we are as ambassadors of Christ. We've looked at six different ways in which our lives can have significance and worth. six different ways in which God's kingdom is coming in us. And right where God's placed us, sharing that gospel in words, but also by living it out as examples of the gospel in our everyday lives. So all this is based on our new relationship with God, that we are now reconciled with him through Jesus. And one of the things that wasn't said there, so I thought I'd not perhaps said it, and you might need to hear it again. This is all because God loves you. He wants the best for you. It wasn't that he was sitting around and thinking, well, I'm in a real sticky mess here. I need some people to help me out. How are we going to spread the gospel? No, he wants you to be involved because that's the best thing for you. That you can live life to its full and be his servants. So he wants you to live a life that's consistent with who you are in Christ. He also loves those around you. And he sends you to do everything in the name of Jesus. What an honour to go as those that have been appointed as representatives of Jesus. Who else is going to reach the people of Burwell but you? Who else is going to reach into the places that you work, the schools that you support, those families that you're involved with? Who else will reach into them but you? You're sent to be Christ's representative right where God has placed you. So today we're thinking about that journey on. And we're thinking about the way that the Colossians should continue with what they've been told. Paul encourages them to be faithful to Jesus as Lord, rather than be drawn aside by anything that would distract from the victory God has accomplished through Christ. Now, at least some of this should seem a little familiar. Some of it should be ringing a few bells, as this is our year text, as we saw earlier in the service. Now, year text is a scripture that we pray about and believe that the Lord highlights as being particularly relevant for the year. So when we find one of these verses that we believe God is speaking to us, it's worth learning, it's worth thinking about. How is God speaking through this verse to us this year? Why has he given us this verse and not one of the many other verses that he could have given us? So it's worth thinking about. Let's read it together. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I love the way that overflowing with thankfulness went off the edge of the stage when we were trying to put it on earlier. That was great, wasn't it? A visual aid, if ever there was one. So the Colossians were called to live their whole lives in ever closer union with Christ. I love the way that Paul says that they should be rooted, going ever deeper into Christ, and built up, going ever higher in Christ. That they should be strengthened as they were taught. Not new teaching, but putting into practice more fully what they've already learnt. And he comes with some warnings. The first is to avoid deceptive philosophies. All of these things that Paul warns them about, he says, are based on the basic principles of this world. We might say common sense. If you base your faith on common sense, watch out for these things. Base it rather in Christ, and that he can do far more than we can ask or imagine. That he is all the fullness of God. And therefore, we don't just rely on how things usually are, because Christ can do new and different things. So what do we need to be warned about? Deceptive philosophy. So that's those things that would set up some way of thinking that is contrary to salvation by grace in Jesus Christ. Some way of living that will find salvation other than through Christ. There are all kinds of things that we can do in our lives that are helpful. We might meditate, we might do exercise, we might learn, read, study. All of these things can be good. But if you ever see an exercise regime that says, this will transform your life and make you into a new person, it's a deceptive philosophy. If you ever see a self-help book that says, this book will transform your life and make you a new person, it's a deceptive philosophy. Only Christ can create us new. Other things might be helpful, but only Christ has the power to transform. They're in danger from irrelevant practices. Sometimes it may seem okay to just go along with not touching, not tasting, those religious things that are added on to try and make us seem more religious. But actually, because of their irrelevance, they can take up a lot of time and energy that should be focused on doing the relevant things in Christ. There can be empty promises, those things that the world promises, but which have no value in Christ. And false purity, trying to be holy in common sense ways rather than by obedience to what Christ is calling us to. So Paul wrote to the Colossian church that they needed to be aware of these things, that these things were going to be traps that might come along and snare them. Instead, they needed to be rooted in Christ. They needed to carry on growing in what they'd learnt about Christ. After such a huge transition, these are the people in Colossae. These are the people who are willing to take the risk of something new. They're willing to stake their lives that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and he was the Son of God. These are brave people. These are what is called in sociological terms the early adopters. They're the ones that have opted in right at the beginning. They're the people that love new things. So what danger might they have? That they think, oh, what's the next new thing? Now we've found Christ, let's move on to the next thing. What's the next thing that we need to learn? The next new dramatic change we need to make in our lives. And Paul says, no, it's great that you've got on board early and you've seen that Jesus is the Messiah. But stick with that now. Stick with it. Become those that are persevering and enduring with what you've learned. Don't just go on to the next new thing. They have all the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Christ. They don't need to add anything else to what they've learned. So for the Christian, Christ is all sufficient, all supreme. God has put all his fullness in Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 9. We have the benefits of being joined with him, verse 10, which includes being stripped of the sinful nature, 11 and 12, being made alive and having all our sins forgiven, 12 and 13. Through victory of the cross, 14 and 15. In addition to that, we're connected to Christ in verse 19, from whom the whole body, his church, draws its life. So we come full circle back to the church, and we recognize again how in Christ, the church is a gift to us, because through it, we're not only joined to one another, but we're joined to the head. That in Christ we hear Christ through each other, and therefore we are knitted together through one another to Christ. So in the light of that, in the light of who we are in Christ, what can stop us being fruitful if we are faithful? If we're faithful to what God's called us to do, what can stop us being fruitful? So I want us to think about right where God's placed us at the moment. Not where you used to be 20 years ago, for those of you that might have been retired for that long. But right now, where has God placed you? Who are the people that are your front line? What are the places that you are impacting and shaping? And you were given a little piece of paper when you came in. It was the shape of a little owl, which I thought was very clever because it tied in quite nicely with the owl on the picture. Shona chose that specially, apparently. So you should have a little piece of paper there. And I'd just like you to write down. I did say to Shona that those that retired a week ago, they might want to put down what they used to be doing as their front line. But maybe there are new front lines for you now. That would be changing a little. So this is the people that you see regularly, the places that you are, the places that God has made you be fruitful, the places that God has placed you to be fruitful. So that might include your workplace, it might include your home, it might include your neighbourhood. It's good to put faces to the people that you're thinking about. Who are those that particularly you might be influencing, shaping? It is also okay to find your front line within the church. It's sometimes through the ministries of the church that you find a front line. Maybe as a town pastor or at the farmer's market or different ways that you can find a place to be fruitful. So Shona's provided a fruit bowl. Did you see what she did there? A fruit bowl. Yeah, Sheila's got it. Karen's got it. All right. It's a fruit bowl. Yeah, all right, great, yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to invite you to come forward and put the fruit into the bowl because our year text says that we should be overflowing with thankfulness. So just recognize that where God has placed you is somewhere to be thankful for, something that you can say, thank you, Lord, for putting me in the midst of this desperate school where all the children seem to have problems and every teacher is falling apart. Thank you for putting me there to be the voice of Jesus. Thank you for putting me in the midst of this family where everything seems to have fallen apart. Because in Christ, you speak reconciliation and hope into this family. Thank you for putting me into this church full of all these weird and strange people, that you, through me, can bring hope in Christ. Thank you for making me fruitful where you've placed me. So there's some of the things you might want to be thankful about as you come to put your fruit in the fruit bowl. I'm going to ask Barry to come forward with me. And as elders, we'll offer to pray with you if you recognize that maybe you want to be more fruitful where God has placed you. You don't know what's stopping you being fruitful, but you just want to say before God, to put yourself in that place of saying, Lord, make me fruitful, that I might see the fruit and glorify you. So we'll be stood at the front as well. So if you'd like to come during the next song, put your fruit into the fruit bowl, and Barry and I will pray for you if you would like that. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mike. So, Lord, we thank you for the places that you've put us and for the fruit that we are already bearing. Help us to see it and to know that you are pleased with the fruit that is born in the Spirit. And help us now, Lord, as we are thankful before you, to offer that thanks through Jesus Christ. Amen.